Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. Today, I am joined by a woman who pretty much does it all. She acts, writes, produces, directs, Miss Stephanie Garvin. How's it going, Stephanie?
Hi, Michael. It's going great. We've got a lot happening today, so hopefully we won't get interrupted too much. But, you know, it's all good. I like being busy and productive.
I will say, ever since you were young, it seems like busyness has pretty much described your whole life up to now, and I'm sure even in the future.
Oh, yeah. You know, some people call it chaos. I call it being overly productive.
It seems like you had a fire that started in you when you were young, the entrepreneurial spirit. You got started working even before probably most people do in their whole life. You started when you were like 9 years old. You were like washing cars, and I know you were doing other stuff, but I know that's one thing that you were doing. But that's pretty much when it all started for you. Yeah,
it did. Yeah, I babysat. I did cars. I pulled weeds. I dog sat. I walked dogs. You know, I was a very mature 9 year old, and you know, I really just always loved being busy and working. And you know, if I wasn't doing something like that, I was like reading encyclopedias, which was really nerdy.
Wow. So to go along with your aunt, what's
that? My mom definitely thought it was very weird.
Yeah, I don't know too many 9 year olds reading an encyclopedia. Yeah, no. But anyway, so speaking of your mom, it was your mom that was frugal with money, and you weren't exactly the most frugal with money. She told you you had to go out and earn your own money if you wanted something.
Yeah, you know, I mean, she had a good job. She was a nurse, but you know, a lot of the times growing up, she was a single mom, so she was the breadwinner and the sole person providing for my brother and her and I. And, you know, I liked nice things from a little age. I don't know why, but, you know, I always wanted the best little clothes and shoes. And, you know, I when she would say, well, I'll get, you know, here's the budget for school shopping. You know, I would always go through it like in a couple hours. And then, you know, good thing I didn't have a credit card back then, but you know, she'd say, well, if you want more, you know, just do get some work, go out and work for it. And I was like, okay, I will. And I did. And I didn't mind, actually. It was a good thing. And, you know, growing up with my kids, when they were growing up, I had them do the same thing. And it was actually, cause it taught me some really valuable lessons, how to value money and how to manage money. And that's something that I think some kids miss out on. You know, they don't teach you those things in grade school. And even in high school, they don't really teach you how to use money properly.
Well, after, get this. So Stephanie, after my last year when I graduated high school, that was the year after, after I got that they really started to explain money. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Dave Ramsey. They showed that.
I love him.
What's that?
I love him.
Oh yeah, Dave. Yeah, a money manager guy. And they showed his whole series of videos. And that was the year after I had left. So I never got any money management skills. So
I'm really glad to hear that, because I always think, you know, that's the first thing that people have to figure out when they go out on their own is, you know, making money. How do I manage money? I got to pay bills. What do you mean? What are these? Sometimes people have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I know we talked about you working at 9 years old, but it was really 12 years old when your entrepreneurial spirit really did happen, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So I started teaching piano, and I opened up a little salon at my house where I did makeup and hair for all the high school girls when they would go to prom. And, you know, when I started writing, I always wanted to be a writer from a young age, and I would send off my scripts and my story ideas and try to get jobs writing, and you know, no one hired me, but you know, I read some of those stories now. I still have them, and they're really funny. But they were, you know, they weren't bad, but they were, you know, not professionally written, of course. But I tried. That's what it's about.
But I think you got the best encouragement possible you could get from a from being rejected. They said that you had talent, though.
Yeah, they did. Every one of the letters I got with a rejection was impressed that I sent something at my age, and they all said I had to be 18. Please come back when I turn 18. They'd love to hear from me again. And, you know, by the time I was 18, I was doing something entirely different. But, you know, I was doing more acting and actually just regular work.
It's really amazing. I mean, your life. I mean, so you were like the model child that every parent would want, it seems.
Well, you know, I did sneak out my mom's car a couple times because I had to get her. I had places to go. You know, she was busy. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. But I also want to say, Stephanie, one thing that I really did like that I was reading is how one of your favorite memories is that I think maybe during a storm or something, you didn't have lights with your kids and so you lit candles. And that's kind of how the stories kind of really started. Or you guys would make up some crazy stories pretty much.
So we were moving and I could not. It is a funny story that the whole move, actually, I was in a U-Haul and I didn't have a car yet at the new state that I lived in. I only had the U-Haul and it was just me with the kids. So we would drive into the U-Haul looking for our home that we would rent. And I pulled up to this one house and the U-Haul just went and it just died right in the driveway. I was like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. And so the kids run out and they're like, oh, is this going to be the house? And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like, I just want to crawl underneath the U-Haul truck. And the lady ended up being very nice. The house was perfect. And she's like, you know what? And I had cash. So she's like, you know what? Just, if you want, just go ahead and stay here tonight. I was like, all right, you know what? We'll do that because I can't leave anyway because the U-Haul's broken down in your driveway. So we moved right in. She actually helped us take stuff out of the U-Haul. And we were sleeping on the floor with blankets and pillows. And we didn't have any electricity, no water. None of the utilities were on yet. But we had candles and we lit candles and we just told stories and went round and round making up more elaborate stories. And, you know, we did that for a couple nights and it was so much fun. And my children, they still talk about it today, about how that was one of their most special moments of their entire life. They remember that like it was yesterday. And so do I. It was so bonding. We had nothing. We had no furniture, no light, no water. No AC.
Do you still live at that house that you broke the U-Haul at?
No, I only lived there for a year. After that, I moved to Lincoln Park in Chicago. So.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Maserati. That's a film that you have, that you were the EP on, the executive producer.
Yep.
And it stars quite the cast. Oh my goodness. I mean, you have Jessica Alba, you have Anthony Hopkins, and not only that, but the great Al Pacino in it.
Yes, I know. And Michaela Maroney, who's a very upcoming. I mean, just outstanding performances by everyone. You know, even the lesser known cast, the performances are so good. So I'm excited to be a part of this project. It's been one of my biggest projects to be attached to so far. And the next one is Bugatti the Genius right after this one. And, you know, going to be a fantastic cast as well. Very, very similar to the caliber of talent that we have in Maserati. The film, you know, I've helped a little bit with the editing. I'm not a film editor per se, but, you know, as a producer, we give notes. And it's very much like The Godfather, but about racing. And it's exciting.
Are they going to make like a whole series of car manufacturers of how the whole car history was, like maybe Honda or Toyota, or will they continue on with the?
I haven't been part of any of those conversations, so
gotcha.
But the next one is Bugatti. I am not a car expert. I'm a film, producer. That's my expertise. And so my job is to help bring these to life however I can. And, but I'm learning a lot about cars being attached to this film because I had no idea about.
So another movie that you were a part of, Stephanie, that I dearly loved was Holiday Twist, which also had a really great cast too in it. I mean, Sean Astin was in it, John Astin's son. Right. You had James Maslow from Big Time Rush in it. You had Montana Tucker.
Yes, they're all. And Kelly Stables from Two and a Half Men. Brian Thomas Smith, he was a part of, what's the show about the scientist? I can't remember the name of it now.
Was it Breaking Bad?
No, it was a funny.
Not Breaking Bad.
They were like in their 30s. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. I can't. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, though. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So. So I wrote that project. I wrote Holiday Twist. And I was just going to produce and write. And I hired a director. And then I had such a specific vision constantly of what I wanted for the set design, what I wanted for this. And, the director, finally, we had a COVID delay. And then after the delay was over, he was like, I think you should just direct this. Why don't you come out the gate directing with this movie? Because it's already all right there. You have everything you need. And I was terrified. I was like, really? Oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that. I've only directed commercials. I was like talking him out of me directing. And he's like, no. He goes, you have a better vision than most directors I've worked with. So he talked me into it. And I'm really glad that I did. It was a lot of work doing all three. But I loved it. I loved having that control over the little things that were important to me.
And one thing you also said in your being a director, one of the most important lessons you've learned is reading minds. Apparently that's people have yet to figure that one out.
Yes. I'm a big, I'm a very intuitive person. And sometimes the way I think is so quick. Like, it's like, I'll immediately just know what needs to be done. And, having to stop and explain it to someone else who maybe didn't get the download, was challenging for me because, no one knows what I'm getting downloaded inside of my brain. Just like you might be thinking one thing and, your friends are on a totally different page. You have to explain to them how you're feeling or thinking. And that was something that was a little bit challenging at first, but I grew into it. And now I'm a much better communicator when I'm on set. I learned. Yeah. Thank goodness.
And speaking of being on set, we'll talk about this. You're currently right now as we speak, you have 60 people at your house for a reality TV show. Can you tell us a bit about the TV show?
So I can't tell you too much because I'm under an NDA, but it is apparently on the Oprah network. And so they're here getting all situated, and that's what took me a minute to. That's why I'm in the closet right now. You can't see because it's all blurred out, but I'm in a storage closet so that I'm not interfering with them. They're from New York, and they just landed in town today. And all the cast, there's 12 people in the cast. They're coming in to the house right now, unloading everything. So, yeah.
I also meant to say, to go along with what you were saying before I said about the reality show, is talking about making mistakes on set, how actors always, or everybody on set makes mistakes since there's chaos there. And so you talked about giving grace to people, the actors and everyone else on set as well.
Yes. You know, there's no perfect human. I always remind people of that. If someone's thinking they're too perfect, I remind them there's no perfect human. If someone thinks they're too imperfect, I say there's no perfect human. It's my perfect answer. So, you know, I like to work with people that are humble and open to improvement and suggestions. I am always open to improvement. And, you know, I think when you're working with a big group of people, you've got so many different personalities and different perspectives and different objectives, especially on set. You know, everybody's like, you know, this team has, they're responsible and accountable for this. This person, this in team is responsible and accountable for that. And, you know, everything has to jive to make the product come to life. So I always keep that in mind, you know, when I'm directing or producing, or even when I'm writing. You know, sometimes you're on set, you do a rewrite, you have to make it, you have to adjust it for the person because maybe the character's not fitting into the personality of the actor the way, maybe they're not able to land it the way it needs. So then a little quick rewrite to help the actor out is always handy.
So I have one more question for you, Stephanie. What advice do you give to someone who wants to get into the whole entertainment industry?
You know, be open, be ready, because sometimes, you know, when you have opportunities, they just come at you really fast. You know, like when I got on board with Maserati, I mean, I'm so glad that I was able to just jump in because it was full on and they were halfway through the project. And, you know, if I wouldn't have been mentally prepared, I might have talked myself out of doing it because it's like, oh, are you ready to, you know, go to Rome? And it's like, if I had to think about it, well, let me see, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to fit that in my schedule? Blah, blah, blah. You know, I would have missed the opportunity. And I think a lot of people are waiting for the perfect alignment. And sometimes the opportunity comes right up and sneaks up on them and they're not prepared. You know, so always being prepared, especially like if you're an actress or an actor, you know, that's usually the way people get in the doors, you know, some kind of acting, because there's so many, you know, ways to do it. You could be an extra, you could, you know, do your own thing, you could be on YouTube. And, you know, you just have to always be exercising your muscles, whether, you know, writing too. You need to keep, you know, keep writing. Sometimes it might be just writing affirmations or, you know, whatever you want to write, but, you know, keep muscle working. And also keep up with technology. You know, that's a big part of, that's game changing right now in the entertainment world. You know, I find myself like, oh wow, okay, now what is that I have to learn now? You know, being my age, technology doesn't always come as easy as it does when you're younger. So I've got to back up, you know, take some seminars, and I like to stay up to speed so that when someone says, hey, you know, just use Canva, I'll know what Canva is.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the big one right now. That and CapCut, it seems, are the two biggest
I
now.
know. Yes.
Yeah.
It's part of
But
being prepared, you know, just keep yourself ready.
absolutely, I agree. But Stephanie, thank you so much for your time, for coming on the program. Very nice to meet you, and good luck with the project.
Thank you so much. This has been wonderful, and I appreciate you inviting me on your show.